On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect.
Troy Miller joins us. Familiarity with Troy actually started with the National Religious Broadcasters. He's the CEO there. But recently, Troy has been added to the board at Magen David Adom, the first responders, nonprofit organization in Israel. But before I try to describe the work that they do, let's ask a board member. Troy, welcome into the conversation.
Well, thank you for having me today. It's great to be with you.
And now our listeners should be somewhat familiar. We've often talked with the staff and volunteers from Magen David Adom, and there's an opportunity for our listeners to better understand what they do, and via their website here in America, have opportunity to support the work they're doing. But if you could just briefly describe what it is, what kind of work that it is that they do in Israel.
Well, they're a medical emergency response organization. Much like I would say, you know, internationally, the Red Cross, but they, you know, focus on first response in Israel and other places, particularly to natural disasters. And of course, as we know, in Israel, terrorism events is a big thing of what they do. And the interesting thing about them is, as you said, they're a nonprofit independent organization that does this work.
And let me direct our listener to a place where they can find out more. And being a nonprofit, you know, almost every nonprofit I know has got a real easy button to find on the homepage to donate. And if you look through what they do and you know, pray about and decide that you want to support them financially, we'd encourage you to do that. But the website for American Friends of Magen David Adom is afmda.org, Israel's Emergency Services System. Troy, how did you become aware of Magen David Adom?
Well, I've actually known the organization for quite a while. I have been a partner and an exhibitor at the National Religious Broadcasters Conventions on an annual basis. But I really didn't know when I went to Israel just 2 months after the October 7th events. I was in Israel in December of that year. And got to witness, you know, firsthand the work that they did and the work that their people did in the kibbutz and in the areas that were affected. They often sometimes were the first, not only the first responders, but in many cases they were there even before law enforcement and military was able to get there. They were in with their armored ambulances helping people, and so that really into their work.
Okay. And listen, I want to back up a little bit on the website that I shared, although you'll find the information where I sent you, savinglivesinisrael.org. That may be a better place for you to go. Troy, moving forward, I mean, as things continue to happen in the Middle East and in Israel and Gaza Strip and elsewhere, what do you anticipate seeing, happening with the work of Magen David Adom? And, you know, how can the KLYT listener, aside from being supportive financially, support what it is that they're doing and help others to better understand?
Well, look, there's a couple of things there on the support side. One, you can draw awareness to who they are and the work that they do within Israel. And I want to say something about them, too, in this for any of the listeners. They go into these tragic events, these terrorist events or disasters to help people. They help Israelis, they help Arabs, they help Druze. It's they help people that are injured. This is not an organization that just goes in to help, you know, Jewish citizens. They go in to help anybody who's injured in these situations. So they often put their lives in harm's way in doing that. So not only, as you said, if you can't support financially, you can support them with prayer, as Christians and many in the Christian communities are doing, to pray for their safety as they go into these various situations. And to the earlier part of that question, you know, unfortunately, until we get a real mindset ideological change within the Middle East, their services are going to be required across, you know, the nation of Israel and its surrounding even border communities that they're needed. And so it's they just serve such a great role and such, I mean, I've had a chance to be at their headquarters in Israel, to be with their folks in the field, and just some of the loving, caring, kind, well-trained people I think you'll ever meet in the world.
Yeah, and I'm really glad you brought in the thought and the fact that the people that they're serving, it's a diverse culture in Israel. I think many people, including Christians, assume Israel full of Jews. And there's Christians, there's Jews, there's Muslims. You mentioned the Druze. Actually, the makeup of the staff of Magen David Adom would mirror that. And in addition to praying for their safety, I think it'd be appropriate because many of them have been there for years. I don't remember the name of the young lady that I interviewed not too long ago, but, you know, well-educated. She volunteered for and continues to. But, you know, these people, many of them young people, were present and working and serving on October 7th of 23. And with that, and not only on October 7th, but the things that, you know, anyone who's in this occupation deal with, you know, when you can't unsee things, and PTSD is a real thing. And if you can pray for not only their safety physically, but their mental health and ability to continue to do this. And the young lady actually that I spoke with was Yasmin Mazawi, a Christian who's been part of Magen David Adom for quite some time. Let me ask you this, Troy, because you know, you're CEO of the National Religious Broadcasters, which, you know, that takes a little bit of time. You're taking time today to let our listeners know more about Magen David Adom. How can our listeners be praying for you to help hold up your arms?
Well, look, nobody, especially us in leadership, should ever turn down the offer to pray for us. As you said, we live in a very busy time right now. There's just so much going on at what we do at the NRB to protect the rights of Christian communicators and organizations like this to be in the public sector. So I would just continue to say, please pray for God's wisdom in my life as we make these decisions and look at the priorities and the things we're working on, and then protection. You know, it's we know that the warfare is spiritual. It's not just, you know, carnal, and we often forget that. But just for protection for myself, my family, our staff, as well as we go through working, as you said, called to work on God's behalf.
Yeah, and listen, I want to draw the listener back to the website that we gave, Saving Lives in Israel. And on that website, one of the tabs, a couple of the tabs you'll see, get involved. There's opportunity for partnerships. As an individual, you can be supportive. And listen, whether you're a layperson or a leader in your church, there's ways for churches to come alongside the work that's being done by Magen David Adom in Israel. There's also resources And you can keep up to date on the work they're doing. There's videos under the news tab and so much more. We encourage you to do that. Go to savinglivesinisrael.org. And before we move on, Troy, I want to throw it back to you. Is there anything left unsaid you want to make sure the KLYT listener knows?
Well, I do just want to emphasize a couple of things that you said, and this is a not only ethnically diverse, but a religiously diverse organization out there. Muslims, Christians, Jews are all part of both the staff and the people they help. And then, as you said, really get out to that website. It's a great website, all the resources. And one of the things that your churches could do, and we're working on doing this at the next NRB convention, is to do a blood drive. At your church. They'll help. They'll come in. They'll set it up. It really doesn't require anything but your availability. But there are things like that you could do. And again, I can't say enough about the work of this organization and the quality of the people that are there and the leadership that are there. They are just outstanding. Some of the best people in the world I've ever had a chance to know and work with.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned the blood drive opportunities, and glad to hear that they'll be doing that, you know, not only at the upcoming NRB in Nashville in February, but this past NRB actually had a chance to get over and give a little bit of blood. I forget what type I gave, but it was Steve blood.
Steve blood.
But it is a great opportunity. And yeah, it'd be great to see communities, you know, having those blood drives across the nation. And you can find out more about that at savinglivesinisrael.org. Hey, Troy, if you can stick with us, we're up against a break, and I'd like to come back and talk to you a little bit more about NRB and the work you're doing there and how NRB is representing radio stations like this one in Washington and so many other things. Can you stay with us through the break?
Yes.
All right. Stay with us. We're going to come back with Troy Miller, not new to the board at McGinn DeVita Dome, and the CEO at the National Religious Broadcasters, savinglivesinisrael.org. That's the website to go to. We'll be back after this on ABQ Connect.
Come back to ABQ Connect.
Well, we continue our conversation with Troy Miller. In our first segment, we talked about his recent addition to the board at McGinn DeVita Dome, Israel's Emergency Services System, a nonprofit organization, really saving lives and acting as a first responder. As Troy said in the first segment, very similar in America to what we would, the Red Cross. Only I'm not sure the Red Cross has any bulletproof ambulances. We failed to mention that in our first segment that Samaritan's Purse donated a few of those to McGinn DeVita Dome because of listeners like you that are supporting these organizations. But savinglivesinisrael.org, that's the website to go to. Troy, I wanted to keep you around because, you know, we don't often, but sometimes mention National Religious Broadcasters on the NRB, on KLYT. And for those not familiar with the organization, you know, they may often see you or others in the news. And I did want to bring more attention to the work of NRB. And I think it's important for our listeners to know that, although primarily I'd say, you know, you serve radio stations, but the truth is by serving radio stations like this, you're serving the KLYT listener. Can you kind of go into some of the work that's being done and better educate our listener?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity. NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters Association, is one of the oldest, if not, I think, maybe the oldest, still operating advocacy, Christian advocacy groups within the U.S. here. And actually, we do a lot of work internationally as well. And we work on behalf, we started back in 1944 when radio was emerging as the top mass medium and a way to reach people. And pastors wanted to use that medium. They wanted to use radio to disciple people, to evangelize. And guess what? Even back then, 1944, there were gatekeepers at the radio stations, at the national radio organizations, and even some in the church who wanted to decide who could and who couldn't be on this public square tool. And so NRB was formed at Moody Church, and that's the primary work that we do. We advocate and we fight on behalf, as I like to say it, for the rights of Christians and Christian organizations to do the work that God has called them to do, and to keep the gospel in the public marketplace and in the and on the communication platforms of today. As I said, 80 years ago, that was radio. But today, not only do we represent and work on behalf of radio, but radio and television and the radio and television programmers. And then, of course, you guys are now all digital as well. So we work on all digital platforms, publishers, authors, Christian filmmakers. So basically, if your ministry has a communication arm in the public square, NRB is working hard to make sure that you can stay there and that you have the best, fairest operating environment there is.
Well, and you know, one of the things you mentioned is, you know, the other broadcasters, including those creating content for TV or film or podcasts or what have you. And, you know, on this broadcast, we've often, you know, done interviews with people working on, we actually recently spoke with Max McLean and the work they're doing to hopefully bring Screwtape Letters to the big screen. And you know, whether it's that or other Christian projects, we encourage the listener. And listen, I've had conversations, you know, some, whether it's mainstream or Christian, you know, some production and writing and acting is better than others. But regardless of how you feel about other Christian projects you've gone to see, or actually, I'm excited about a lot of quality product over the years, movies like Luther or, you know, I include Chariots of Fire in that. I don't know that that was the intent, but what a great opportunity to share a message through media. And when Hollywood it is, or Bollywood, you know, wherever, you know, if whatever might be happening when it comes to production of things like this, how important it is for the Christian community to vote with their dollar to tell Hollywood or other places how important it is to have this kind of content. How important is it that the Christian community engages like that?
Well, look, it's extremely important. And I put it this way. I think the Christian community, in the Christian community, we sometimes are often, like everybody else, there's a lot of peer pressure and public pressure, and not that everything that the secular world produces is immoral or bad. But it's really to live out our lifestyle, our Christian worldview. And I think when we see that happen in society, whether it's living that out in the box office by supporting movies and projects that support our beliefs, our faith, and our values, or shopping at places that do that, or supporting radio ministries or organizations, radio broadcasters out there, it's just important, because not only for us individually, I mean, it just look, we know the Bible kind of talks about, I'll say it in a kind of a summary form, you know, garbage in, garbage out. You know, and when we bring good things in, good things come out of that. But not only that, but I'll tell you this, it has sent a message, and we talk about Hollywood, it sent a message in Hollywood, the Reagan movie, I Can Only Imagine, all these movies. And if you look at that, I know some of the insiders in Hollywood, you know, the most recent Top Gun movie that was by far probably one of the most revenue-wise movies and popular movies that Hollywood's put out in years, you know, they kind of saw that and heard that message, and that movie stayed, you know, very true to its patriotism and to the hero and to that. It didn't get into any woke agendas or anything else.
Right.
And I think, you know, Hollywood, when they see the support of the Christian movies, the very overt Christian movies, they understand that this is what America wants to hear and where America is leaning.
Yeah, and you know, when you bring up wokeness in projects, you know, I think back in November of 23, I think America spoke. And now, granted, some people didn't hear America, but I agree. You know, when people are you know, maybe purchasing a streaming service because of things like the David miniseries that happened last year and was well promoted at NRB. It's just a great way for the Christian community to communicate with everyone that, hey, this is the kind of content that we are prepared to consume. And it's good for, it's a win-win-win. You know, everyone wins. So we hope to see more of that, and we appreciate what the NRB does to bring some of those projects to light that others may not be aware of. The other area I wanted to touch on was the area of engagement from the Christian community to communicate with Washington that AM radio. And now listen, we're broadcasting from 88.3 FM in Albuquerque, New Mexico, 88.1 FM in Las Cruces, 90.7 FM. Cannon Air Force Base near Clovis, New Mexico, and 93.5 FM in Portales, New Mexico. I'm not being selfish here. AM radio and its importance in our communities.
Well, look, radio is important in our communities and the communities that you just named. You know, we've seen this move, you know, to a more broader national, you know, mediums and organizations. And, you know, radio in general brings that localization, talks about what's going on in the local communities, is involved in the local communities. And AM radio is really the top sources out there still today. Many people think that AM radio, well, isn't that old technology? Isn't the AM radio back from the, you know, 1930s and 40s? No, AM radio is very vibrant and very alive today, with over 80 million average listeners tuning into AM radio across this country. Plus, AM radio provides really the only solid, dependable emergency alert system across this country. It's the first place you tune into during a natural disaster that's come in, and we've had these fires and floods and hurricanes. So we see AM radio as very important. But the last point here, and I think the most important point, is in defending the freedom of religion and the freedom of speech and the freedom of the consumers to make choices out there, and not that everything is chosen for them. We really think that this is much more about the car companies controlling the information in the car and the dashboard by wanting to sell you a subscription and then record all of your data, record all of your habits, and then sell them off to advertisers. And we think AM radio should stay in the car. It's vibrant, and people should have that free choice. They still have the choice to get a subscription if they want, but they should have that free choice. So we are fighting for what's called the AM in Every Vehicle Act, for Congress to get that passed. It's the most bipartisan supported act I think Congress has seen in years. And we're hoping this fall that that's going to come to a finish line. And the president promised at the NRB convention in 2024 that if it gets to his desk, he will sign it.
All right. Well, Troy, with the minute or two that we have left, and by the way, if you just joined us, Troy Miller is with us, the CEO of the National Religious Broadcasters. I do want to throw it back to you. Anything else pertaining to NRB that including where people can find ways to support the work?
Yeah, and again, thank you for the prayers and the offer for prayers to support the work. You can go to nrb.org and keep track of all of the things that we're working on, all the different legislative pieces and regulatory pieces that are going to all the things we're working on in the courts and the legal systems across this country. And look, you can also find out about our annual convention, which is open to everybody, including anybody from the public. So if you want to come out and figure out how to even be a better communicator, because everybody today is a communicator. We live in the greatest time of communications in the history of mankind. Come to the NRB conference. You can find all that information at nrb.org.
All right. Again, Troy Miller, the CEO from NRB and new to the board at McGinn DeVita Dome. Appreciate your time, Troy, and God willing, the plans are there. Hope to see you in Nashville next year for the convention.
Same here. We'll see you.
All right. God bless. And thank you again for your time. And thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.